Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Prime Ministership of the United Kingdom, a revered job, except I learned from Conrad Black, writing at the National Post, a distinguished biographer, that there have been 15 leaders of the Conservative Party since Stanley Baldwin stepped aside in 1937. Of those 15, 5 have left after defeats, 2 were eased out, one of those was Winston Churchill, and 8 were sacked by their own party. We've witnessed several of those in these last years, so much so that the statistic is numbing. 5 prime ministers in 6 years. Conrad, a very good evening to you. Do we blame this on the Conservatives? Do we blame it on the parliamentary system? Are we having a bad run of luck? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, I think you've got two elements. We're having a bad run of luck, certainly. But the Conservative Party has a very unattractive history of fleeting and easily abandoned loyalty to its leaders. And, I was there and very much part of the scene when Mrs. Thatcher was pushed out by her own MPs. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, this woman had won 3 consecutive full term clear majority elections, the first time that had happened since before the first Reform Act in 1832, when they broadened the franchise. Prior to that, there were only about 50,000 voters in the whole country. And she was the first person to do that. She had a parliamentary majority of over 100. She'd been a great prime minister, and they pushed her out because she wasn't friendly enough with Europe. And then that was in 1990, and what, 25 years later, they had a referendum to quit Europe. I mean, she was basically a Europhile compared to where the country is now, and they pushed her out anyway. And there's a combination of compulsive fear and treachery in the parliamentary party. I think they're angry people anyway, because they're not in the cabinet. You've got, say, 350 members of parliament in the governing party, and about 50 of them are either cabinet members or parliamentary secretaries to cabinet members. So the ones who aren't are envious and angry at the ones who are. And and in the previous election of a leader, whatever it was and whenever it was, 40 or 45% of the people, of the members of parliament, had voted against the winner. So they're angry at the incumbent leader anyway. So you've always got this sort of pressure cooker there that can blow up at any time. And that's what's happened in that party. And that's why I laid out the numbers like that.
Rishi Sunak is the present prime minister with a really, really tough road ahead. You note that of all the countries involved in the European Union now and NATO, Britain might have the worst economic situation. They're said to be in a recession now, not coming in 23. But I read a few random headlines to make it even sound worse. NH staff to be offered fast-track pay rise in bid to end strikes as the paramedics and ambulance crews take to the picket lines. And then we have the news that the railroaders, 3 different railroads, are scheduling strikes following Christmas and into January. We also have the nurses extremely unhappy and ready to leave the country and go work for a better wage in other countries. There's a nurse shortage around the world. And the complaints about the asylum seekers, the immigrants, also rattle around in Parliament. So what we have here is extreme disorder in the leadership. Do you measure that the solution to this is another election?
Well, not right now. I think their best bet is to try and come up with an imaginative program. I thought Truss had an excellent budget, but they threw her out because they're so narrow-minded, they think it's a zero-sum game. And she said, well, you know, we're going to cut taxes to stimulate growth and fight the recession. And, you know, so sort of the Art Laffer theory, you know, if you cut the taxes, you'll make it back in increased economic activity. So what you lose on income tax, you'll get back in sales tax, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of truth to that. But she didn't explain it right. And she didn't have it. It was all done in such a rush. She didn't have a proper statistical backup for it. So they all panicked and pushed her out. But if Sunak, who's a former chancellor, highly regarded man from Goldman Sachs, who, you know, certainly a knowledgeable man on the economic side of things, if he produces a growth budget but can substantiate that it won't aggravate the deficit too much, then I think he's got a shot, because the British economy will respond to that. The problem here is, and I love Boris Johnson dearly, and he worked for me for many years, but he was the leader of the movement to leave the European Union. And he didn't have any idea of what to do to replace it economically. Both the United States and Canada, individually and together, made a proposal to Britain to fast track them into the North American Free Trade Agreement, join us in Free Trade Agreement. And it doesn't mean you have to surrender your sovereignty the way they do in Europe. And why didn't he take it? That would have helped British exports a great deal, and stimulated economic activity. And Boris got so distracted with getting the terms settled with Europe, and then dealing with COVID, and then Ukraine, he didn't focus on anything else, and it's all caught up with him, and caught up with him particularly because they pushed him out. But There is time if they move right away to get a growth plan to sort of turn it around and run on that. But if they don't move quickly, it's just what you said, John. They will go down in flames in 2 years in the election. Labor will come in with a pretty hard left. I mean, it won't be the Labor of Tony Blair or Gordon Brown. It'll be back to back to Corbyn. It'll be back to the real old hard leftists who will raise taxes and give the store away to the unions, which with any ability to do it in Britain become completely unreasonable. In the United States, most of the unions are ultimately capitalists. They want the system to work. But in Britain, you've got a lot of unionists that are largely Marxist, the leaders. So you'll be back to that, and then it'll be a shamble. So you have to wait another 4 years before the Conservatives come back, having figured out what they want to do to govern.
Margaret Thatcher rescued the 1970s. I was at seminary in 1974 and traveled from Edinburgh to London and saw the darkness of the OPEC embargo and the despair in all of London. But what I remember vividly, road crews working in Edinburgh as I was leaving at the train station, and then similar road crews I saw in parts of London. There would be one man working and five standing around. That's labor. Harold Wilson was then prime minister. Is that what the future holds when the labor returned to the majority?
I am afraid so. Harold Wilson started this thing of ducking the bullet. He retired in 1977, with 2 years left in his term, and the cover of Private Eye magazine, that satirical magazine in Britain, showed the sunken German ships that scuttled themselves at the end of World War One, and there was a bubble on the bridge of one. The ship was sunk, but the bridge was still above water, and the that balloon above it had Harold Wilson saying to James Callaghan, who followed him, "Over to you, Jim." I mean, that was it. That's where they were. They were a sunken ship. And then Thatcher came in and fixed it all up. And the Labour got the hint, and Tony Blair moved them from being a far-left party to a center party. But we flopped back to an ineffectual Conservatives and a Labour Party that's really quite far left. So I'm afraid I must congratulate you. In those times, pre-Thatcher, the best place to be in all Britain was in a seminary, focusing on another world.
It was a dear time, and I remember it fondly. The people of Edinburgh were wonderful. But Harold Wilson, I remember listening to him on the radio as he made various speeches. Is that the future of labor? Are they going to go for a Wilson leader, or is Keir Starmer it?
Keir Starmer is the man, and he's not as articulate as Wilson. To be fair to Wilson, he was a formidable public speaker. Yes. And a formidable debater. But he had some quite capable colleagues, but they didn't provide good government. They were very good allies. You know, when the Cold War was on, they were very strong in that way. But in terms of domestic government, no, they were incompetent. And I'm afraid, yes, we are going to get back to that if labor wins.
Conrad Black writing to the National Post about the gloomy bad patch in the United Kingdom. I'm John Patterson.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.